back.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly. Fuck Dave Gettleman and John Mara Sideways Edition. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Fuck the housekeeping. You guys already know the drill. Today might go down as one of the worst days in modern New York Giants franchise history. The decision to trade Odell Beckham went down about 2 hours ago, Weiss, at this point while we're recording.
Yeah.
I want to say it was about 7:30. Mm-hmm. Getting ready to enjoy my night, drinking a beer, just playing a golf video game, you know, average evening. And then I get the Mike Garofalo notification on my phone that Odell has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. Now, the first fear that ran through my brain was what was going to be the return, because we had heard that the New York Giants had literally laughed at whatever the Cleveland Browns had originally offered a few days ago. If they accepted this deal, what was the deal that they laughed at? It makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. Weiss, feel free to jump in whenever. We have not planned for this episode at all. We're just hopping on to rant. The most frustrating thing about this entire fucking situation is that the Giants are in this mess because of John Mara and Dave Gettleman. We've been preaching it for basically a whole fucking season that Dave Gettleman comes in here, tells John Mara what he wants to hear. Oh, yeah, we can win with Eli. We just got to fix the offensive line. You know, keep Eli. They take a fucking running back second overall. This motherfucker got hired, comes in, and legitimately thinks that with the personnel on this team, that they could make a run during the final 2 years of Eli's career. So they take the running back instead of taking the quarterback. The New York Giants could be in the exact situation that the Cleveland Browns are in right now.
Yeah, that's what hurts.
That's what fucking hurts. And what hurts even more is that the Cleveland Browns would not let John Dorsey out of the fucking building to go interview with the New York Giants. And now he's fucking robbing us. He's killing us. Because the New York Giants could have a rookie quarterback on the second year of their deal with Odell Beckham, with Evan Engram, with Sterling Shepard. They could have traded for Zeitler. They still would have signed Nate Solder. And they'd have all the fucking money in the world right now to go out there and fortify the right side of the line. Fuck it. Go overpay Darrell Williams. Go get good players on defense. Go get Anthony Barr. Go get Preston Smith. Now?
Trade out of the number six pick and get more
picks.
Trade
out of the number six pick. They used second overall on a fucking running back. Thought that this roster was good enough to compete. Trade JPP for a third. Dead cap. Trade Vernon. Trade Snacks. Trade Apple. Took them, what, 8 weeks, 9 weeks to finally come to their senses and realize this team could not compete now? And the quote that rings through my head right now, and shout out to John who just tweeted this at us. This is Archie. Months ago. If Eli is done playing, I'm fine with it. But if he comes back, the Giants have got to win. They can't go through another season like this. So what the fuck? Is Eli going to retire? Or is he going to just sit pretty, get the shit kicked out of him for a full season, collect his $23 million, and then ride off? What is he going to do this season?
Probably get benched by week six.
For who? Daniel Jones at 17th overall?
I don't know.
Just kill me now. Put me out of my misery.
Just look at what... Look at... So, I don't even know where... Look at where... First of all... I can't even fathom this. You trade the one good thing that was going over the last couple years up until, you know, the Saquon Barkley joined the show.
This guy was on pace to break like every single record with injuries, with the broken ankle.
throughout the
with
years.
With Tweet Tammy's rookie season, he was poised to be the greatest of all time with Eli Manning as his quarterback on these garbage teams.
And you trade him. And then you trade him. You don't even get, like, see, it's one thing if you get multiple first-round picks. You know, you can talk yourself into that. And you can say, well, you know, Khalil Mack went for multiple firsts.
The first question that was poised to me when I walk into my roommates, would you have traded Odell for Josh Rosen and the first overall? Yeah. Yeah, I would have. That's a haul. And that's why I had no problem with them saying out, we didn't sign him to trade him, instead of saying, we're not trading him. Because if the right offer comes along, if someone offers you four fucking first round picks, yeah, you're going to trade him. But for that, for what, 17th overall, a third, and Jabril Peppers?
Tell me, I mean, you're the first round pick is not even a top 10 pick.
It's not even a top 15 pick. It's garbage.
And you trade that? And then you get a third. And the thing that pisses me off, too, like, this just even makes it even more asinine, is you just got rid of Landon Collins. You didn't even franchise tag him because you felt that he was a limited player because he was a box safety. Then you make essentially Jabril Peppers, based on what the reports are, he was sort of like the guy that they wanted included in this deal, instead of another player, whoever that other player was. Jabril Peppers is a box safety.
Not so even like, a tight end. Pro Football Focus didn't even have him as a top 15 safety in the league.
It is. This is legitimately the worst day as a fan. And I.
This is rock bottom. This is rock bottom. Not taking a running back at number two overall. This is rock bottom.
This is listen, kicking the can, you know, down the aisle, you know, not addressing the quarterback position is one thing. To get heist by a team whose owner
I'm about to
is
go full Michael Scott right now. Heist?
Who's
heisted? Housted?
Heisted.
Housted. Heisted.
Robbed.
Robbed.
By an organization that is owned by Jimmy Haslam, a guy who had a piece written on him in the beginning of the year about how much of a shit show his organization was. Remember, Dave Gettleman and John Dorsey were hired at the same exact time, probably a month apart.
One organization moving forward, the other going back into the fucking Stone
the
Ages.
Browns,
a hot dog, a pretzel, and a fucking popcorn, whatever the fuck the quote was.
This was an 0-16 football team whose head coach was Hugh Jackson, who had no player, I think, worthy of mentioning in the same sentence as Odell Beckham. Maybe Myles Garrett, right? Maybe him. But other than that, they had nobody worth mentioning. And he took a quarterback number one overall, then he took a cornerback number four overall, and he just continued to build that roster. And look where the Cleveland Browns are right now.
And they just signed Earl Thomas.
Yeah. And look at
they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Look at where the Giants are. The running back that they took. When are the Giants going to be contenders again? I mean, this guy ain't building a contender. We know that.
Never.
We know that this clown is not going to build a contender. Right? So he's going to be gone. Right? And then the next guy that comes in, he's going to hit the reset button. Right? It's going to be a new coaching staff, and it's going to be now a new system, and we got to get the right players, and then the players this ass hat or this ass clown drafted, they're going to get traded away. I mean, then the new GMs. So we know this running back, it's going to be at least 5 years. And that's if this owner.
They're going to waste his entire rookie contract. Nate Solder is going to be dead.
Nate Solder? They're going to waste his entire career. He should ask for a trade right now. Now, think about it for a second. First of all, they have no quarterback, right? Dave Gettleman does not understand positional value. He just doesn't.
Popcorn, hot dog, pretzel.
He doesn't comprehend. Explain to me where this guy, like, okay, John Mara has put his confidence and Dave Gettleman to build this organization back up, right? When has he ever done that anywhere? What in the past has shown you that he can do this? When? Did he do it in Carolina? They couldn't wait to get him out in Carolina. And then you can't find one person that'll say anything good about him. Go ahead, go back to the Panthers organization and find me one guy that will say one good thing, one player that will say one good thing about Dave Gettleman. Josh Norman is still laughing at him. Steve Smith Sr. still makes fun of him. D'Angelo Williams still makes fun of him. He came here, and what does he do? What's the plan? You extend Odell Beckham, make him the highest paid receiver in football. 1 year later, you trade him for what? The 17th overall pick.
And you know what's $16 crazy? Million in dead cap this year.
In a year where they don't even have cap space like that. So we know that this season's a wash. I mean,
in one year, Weiss, he convinced himself the Giants could win now, took a running back second overall instead of replacing Eli, lost Landon Collins for nothing, traded Odell Beckham for a bullshit return with $16 million in dead cap. And we have no replacement for Eli.
No. You have no. First of all, you got no quarterback.
Who the fuck is Dwayne Haskins going to throw to?
Are they even going to? I don't even think they're going to take a quarterback. I mean, the guy has no plan. He has no plan. He has no sense of idea. He has no philosophy. He has no vision. This organization is going to be bad for a long time. If they luck into getting a quarterback who's out of this world, who can resurrect the franchise because he's this great quarterback and he's essentially awesome and he can do all these great things and he's Patrick Mahomes-esque, Aaron Rodgers-esque, and he can do that, maybe it can expedite this thing. But this team has no defense. Now it has essentially no offense outside of Saquon Barkley. I mean, you think Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram is enough for a passing offense?
Dude, look at how much these shitty fucking receivers are getting paid in free agency right now.
It's nothing.
There's no way I'm paying Sterling Shepard $9 million a year. He's gone. He's going to go get a bag.
Yep. Wait until Tyrell. What are you going to? You're going to franchise tag Sterling Shepard next year for $17, $18 million? Really? Oh, you think he's going to draft the receiver? Well, let's look at the receivers that he drafted in Carolina. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, Curtis Samuel. A first-round pick and 2 second-round picks. Their entire career is what the guy he just traded away does in a season. This is bad. This is...
To channel my inner Stephen A., this is bad. This is very, very bad.
No, listen. I'm not divorcing the Giants, but I'm separating myself from them.
This is a trial separation.
I can't. Giants Daily. I mean, I gotta step away from them. I can talk myself into a lot of things. 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks. Maybe I could have done it. Two firsts, a second and a third. You know, maybe I could have talked myself into it. But a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers for the best receiver in football, who essentially is under contract for the next 5 years, who's 26 years old, who wakes up and is 1,000 yards and already has 1,000 yards in a season, and that's all you get? I mean...
What is the fucking plan?
Yeah. What is the plan? What's the plan?
Here's probably the worst part about all this, right? You like Pat Shurmur. Right? I like Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
James Betcher? You think he's got a lot of potential as a defensive coach?
I would
who's going to get fucking scapegoated after this season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pat Shurmur.
They're as good as fucking gone. They're as good as gone.
Pat Shurmur's gonna, but to me, I go to John Mara, man.
It all comes back to John Mara. The fish rots from the head down. And you, I'll take issue with this. You tweeted Wellington Mara is rolling in his grave. He was just as he was probably worse than his fucking son was.
Oh no,
I mean, they were bad for 20 years. They had to have George Young come in here from the NFL made them clean up their act. The NFL said enough is enough. We need to do something about this. The Giants fell ass backwards into two Super Bowls to fucking convince people that they're a classy organization, that they know what they're doing. Historically, they're horrendous.
Wellington would have never traded Lawrence Taylor. Dave Gettleman just traded Odell Beckham for nothing. Keep your 17th overall pick. All right? Keep your 17th overall pick. This is... I'm speechless, man. I want to scream and I want to yell, but I can't. I was at the dinner table when I saw the tweet, and I immediately almost choked on my food. How this man...
That sinking feeling.
How this owner allowed this man to...
Let's pause for a second. It's not how this owner let this man. You really think that Dave Gettleman does this without an okay from John Mara?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is how you allow him to ruin your organization and you sign off on it is beyond.
Have they even commented on it? I haven't even looked at their fucking Twitter. Have they even commented on it?
No, they won't comment until the new league year starts tomorrow. But imagine what Eli Manning is thinking.
That's what I was trying to touch on before. What is he going to do this year?
What's the point of him coming back? No, seriously. If you're
There's
Eli
none.
Manning, right?
They're going to be horrendous.
You're Eli Manning, right? You got your Super Bowls. You made a lot of money, right? What's the point? Like, you don't owe them anything. If I was Eli Manning, I'd retire right now. I pick up the phone right now and I ask two questions. I ask one question. Did you just trade Odell Beckham? If the answer is yes, well, I'm retiring. And I'm hanging up. And that's it. This organization, the New York Giants, are the worst run organization in sports. Worse than the Knicks. They are the worst. I can't think of another. I mean, there's no NFL team that's worse than them right now. Right? There's no, I mean, in the NBA, I mean, who's worse?
The Pelicans
didn't go and get heist for Anthony Davis.
Right.
Right?
You know what? The Lakers tried to heist them and they said, fuck you, no.
And they said no. The Knicks, I don't think the Knicks are. I actually think the Knicks are going to do something very special this offseason in free agency.
Not after Dolan's comments today.
I mean, no, I think James Dolan knows that something is coming.
But and you know what? That brings me back to my point. Who wants to fucking play for this organization?
No, I mean,
no one. No one wants to play for the Giants.
I don't know. Like, what? Saquon Barkley? I mean, you're going to come watch Saquon Barkley get 30 carries a game and get run into the ground?
Stack the box, baby.
This is unreal what this organization has done.
Do we become Browns fans?
I'm just a football fan, man. I'm just a football fan. Odell Beckham, and the thing that sucks even more is that he didn't even want to get traded.
If you're a superstar like he is, New York is the place to be. New York is where you market yourself. New York's where you get the endorsement deals. New York is what turns you into a superstar. No one gives a fuck if you get drafted and you're on the Browns. No one cares.
I'm just stunned, man. I can't. Unreal. It's one thing to trade him. It's another thing to get robbed like this. And it's crazy because initially the reports were that it was a first, second, third, and Jabril Peppers. And even that was like, I was like, what?
I wouldn't do that at all.
Minimum, you got to get two firsts.
Yep.
Let's start there. We can talk from there. Wow. I'm telling you, The only way the Giants can will be good again in the next 3 years or 2 years, whatever, is if they land themselves a quarterback, whether it's Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins or Tua or Jake Fromm or even throwing Trevor Lawrence. If they get one of those guys and he is a superstar, he is Patrick Mahomes, he's unworldly, he's an unreal quarterback. That's the only way I can see them being relevant in the next 3-4 years. Other than that, it's going to take a minimum of 5 years. And it ain't going to be with this general manager, I'll tell you that. It's not going to be with Dave Gettleman, because Gettleman doesn't understand how to build a roster. He doesn't understand that, you know, he doesn't know how to work out trades. He gets heist like this. He got heist by the Rams last year with Alec Ogletree.
Yep.
We all saw that. They couldn't wait to get rid of that contract. They were doing jumping jacks when Gettleman said, yeah, I'll take Alec Ogletree in his contract. It allowed them to go make the moves that they ended up making. To get in the Ndamukong Suh. To get Marcus Peters. To extend Todd Gurley. Gettleman is clueless, man. He's not a general manager. He's not a general manager.
It's, man, and it's like, you know.
He doesn't know how to.
There are plenty of times where, you know, I'm very negative about, you know, someone who's running one of the organizations that I root for as a fan. And when I get proven right, there's at least a, you know, and if you don't act like this, you're lying. Because we take, as humans, we take pride in being correct.
Right.
There's zero in this situation.
None.
There is zero. Right. I am livid at how right I am about Dave Gettleman. Livid.
Outside of maybe Mark Ross, like, I think Mark Ross and Dave Gettleman were the only two people where if they hired him, I would have been livid. I could have talked myself into Kevin Abrams. You know, I could have talked, I mean, who else did they even interview? Riddick, Abrams, and then Mark Ross and Dave Gettleman. There wasn't even a fifth
Mark
person.
Ross. Was Mark Ross making the fucking NFL Network circuit again today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hypocrite.
This is what D'Angelo Williams just said. I try to tell you, Giants fans, Dave was your problem, but you laughed and called me bitter. Well, welcome to the salt wagon. Jump on and let's ride together. Yeah. He told us. Oh, man. If I'm Saquon Barkley, I'm dyeing my mustache blonde.
I like it.
Man, oh man, oh man. This. I'm at a loss for words. I spent the last 2 days laughing at Browns fans because of how delusional they were. Not only did they get Beckham, but they got him at a bargain. If you're a Cleveland Brown fan, like, if some random Cleveland Browns fan ever listens to this, congratulations, my man. Like, you just got an out-of-this-world receiver who, like I said, he'll wake up and he'll have 1,000 yards receiving.
You got the Baker Mayfield. Yup, the best quarterback in that draft.
You got Nick Chubb. You got Miles Garrett. You got Sheldon Richardson. You got Olivier Vernon. You got Denzel Ward. I mean, look at that roster.
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas could be coming to town.
David Njoku.
Wow. And what do the Giants have? Saquon Barkley, who, oh, by the way, by the time the Giants are good again, he's going to be 29 years old.
On his second deal. About to fall off the running back cliff.
Or maybe he won't be on a second deal. Maybe he'll be on his second franchise tag, holding out.
Le'Veon status.
We won't ever be good with Dave Gettleman running the ship.
And, never.
And I'm telling you, man. John Mara is so spineless. So spineless for allowing this to happen.
I can't even fucking tell you what I prefer right now.
Do you know that they...
Do you want them to take Haskins? You want them to take a chance on Drew Lock?
I don't care.
Do you want them to fucking be horrendous with Eli in his last season going off the field to a raucous boo when the Giants are like 2-14 and they have the chance to draft Jake Fromm? Which, by the way, fucking idiots out there who are telling me, oh, no, it's about Trevor Lawrence, Yeah, last year was all about Jake Fromm. Then he had a mediocre sophomore season. If you're telling yourself you're convinced of a quarterback after 1 year of college football, get out of my face. All right, we're back. Weiss had to hop off, but I'm riding with Clem at the Clem Report on Twitter. Clem, we're going to handle this the same way that Weiss and I handled the opening. There's no topics. There's nothing. We're just two frustrated Giants fans, and we're going to get into it. I just spent about 25 minutes yelling into this fucking microphone. You were probably equally as frustrated, beat down, depressed, emotion spectrum ranging from Hong Kong to Jersey City. So you can just go, and we're just going to wrap.
Yeah, you hit me up. You were like, yo, how angry are you right now? And I was like, I don't even know if I'm angry right now. I'm like, I'm empty inside. It's for the Game of Thrones fans. It's like, I just watched the Red Wedding just happen. I'm like, what? Yep. And this is the thing, is like, Red Wedding, we didn't know was coming. This has been tweeted about, I said, since Odell Beckham was in LSU. It was like, the Giants are thinking about trading Odell Beckham. We don't even have Odell Beckham. How are we going to trade him? Like, and now he's just gone. I think I'm in like, see, I think me and you are a little different Giants fans. I think you are you're very vocal with the frustration and anger, and I feel a lot of the things you feel. But I also am just like, so just at like, it's like yelling at the sun at this point. It's like, there's nothing I'm going to get from it, just letting my emotions out. So I think I'm in a different, we're definitely in stages of grief right now. It's just like, I'm past denial, I'm past anger, I think I'm in depression.
You've gone through the entire emotional spectrum from before Odell Beckham was even a Giant till right fucking now.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And we have the only thing keeping me going right now, I'm sure you probably touched on this with Weiss earlier, is like, at least maybe the move is so like universally like laughed at that these are almost always the moves that end up working out in the end. That's the only thing keeping me going right now, because there's nothing else. There's no logic I can put behind this that like I can feel like a third and fucking Jabril Peppers, and not even like when the Browns have the number. This is the 1 year the Browns have like the number one pick or the top three pick of the draft, and this is the year we get the Browns pick.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's like. But here's the thing, right? So for your logic, it would have to be like John Dorsey and Dave Gettleman are both sitting in a room together, and John Dorsey thinks he's the smartest man in the room, but he really is the smartest man in the room because Dave Gettleman is a fucking dumbass. And honestly, like, it's gotten to the point, like, I'll probably be where you're at like 1:30 in the morning when I'm sitting in my bed trying to write a blog about how fucked up this entire situation is and how fucked up this organization is. But pretty much 23 hours a day, I'm just filled with rage because all my sports teams are fucking incompetent. And it's like, I just don't know where to go from here. I have no clue where to go from here. Does Eli retire? Do they take a quarterback at 6? Do they take Daniel Jones at 17 and make me kill myself? I don't know like what is going to happen. There is zero direction. We're less than a year removed from Dave Gettleman like hopping up on a podium and saying this team can compete. Like Eli, if what I saw in the Giants game wasn't a mirage, and I don't think it was a mirage, then, you know, we're going to compete. And it's like, how fucking stupid and blind can you be? Honestly, like, I'm hoping that there's some sort of error or that the NFL is going to like run like a battery of mental health tests on Dave Gettleman to prove that he was not competent. Like, he was not competent to stand trial. That's what I'm hoping for. That John Dorsey got him on the phone and he was not competent to stand trial on the fucking phone. And that this whole they're going to put the kibosh on the whole thing.
I think I was like you, like, I didn't know what else to do. I wrote a blog post. I was tweeting about it. And then my Twitter time was just making me more depressed. You know, Twitter's depressing enough as it is to be on all the time. When your team trades your favorite player for like a bunch of bullshit, it's really depressing. So I just went on Periscope, and the people on Periscope were like, I heard Ian Rappaport said that the trade might get reversed because Odell wants to restructure his deal and this and that. And it's like, we're already praying that basically Antonio to the Brown to the Bills happens to us now. Yeah. That's how desperate we were. We're hoping like a fantasy like veto happened, like in a fantasy league. That's how fucked up Giants fans are. We are mentally broken. And like you said, like last year we were told this team can compete. We draft. And again, I'm not going to, like, I was so happy that the Saquon versus the quarterbacks discussion was finally in the rear view. And we could finally say, all right, whatever it is, what it is. And we're just going to move forward with this team. And then hopefully get a quarterback to put with Saquon. And yeah, it's back now because instead of building, you know, the reason you draft a running back, you hope you do what the Cowboys did. You go from an ad team to, all right, now we have an identity. We have a running back and obviously we have a receiver and we just have the quarterback. We get the line and then you compete with that. You build a defense. Now it's like, why the fuck did we draft the running back when his like the best years of his contract that are going to be the cheapest years when he has the freshest legs are going to be on a team that's going to have, they're going to be 10 guys in the box next year.
Dude,
Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram are going to make defenses pay.
They're going to stack. Okay, not only are they going to stack the fucking box, but Weiss and I were talking about this, right? If you look at where the Giants are right now and their timeline for success, this guy is going to be literally halfway off the running back cliff, which I think is like his age 28 or 29 season by the next time they're fucking competitive. And people were, yeah, were sending me the Family Guy meme. You go to the draft. Oh, we have Odell Beckham, but DK Metcalf, you could have DK Metcalf, who could also be Odell Beckham. It's Dave Gettleman, yeah, is Peter Griffin. He's got the same fucking stupid accent. Dude, I'm literally thinking about this in real time. He's got the same fucking stupid New England accent. He's doing the same stupid shit that Peter Griffin would do. RGM is Peter Griffin.
And I'm fucking Alonzo Mourning GIF as I'm like, nope. Oh, fuck. Man. Like, that is, he is fucking Peter. Oh my God. We have Peter Griffin at GM. Peter Griffin, and you know what? GM. Panther fans warned us. They're like, dude, trust me. This guy is nothing but trouble.
The
and
players
I was
us.
Like, listen.
Their players warned us too.
Yeah. Everyone warned it. Everyone, even Josh Norman last night was like, yo, fuck this guy. And I fuck Josh Norman. He got his money. And I'm very happy he's with the Redskins right now for that amount of money.
Yes.
I have no problem with that. Landon Collins, I wish was still. That's the thing. I wish I had Landon Collins and Odell Beckham instead of not Odell Beckham and Jabril Peppers and a couple of draft picks. That's, yep, now it comes back to the Landon Collins bullshit again.
Yep.
Like, we can't get out of our own way of just, it's just a circle of pain. And we just get slapped in the face every time by the goddamn Giants. I don't know, man. I honestly don't know what to say right now. Like,
how are they going to justify it? I literally don't know how they're going to justify it. Like, I literally just checked their Twitter account like 15 minutes ago. Their last fucking tweet was like a video of Sterling Shepard catching a touchdown pass. They haven't even tweeted about it. It is literally the most viral news. Like, I'm stunned right now because I honestly don't know how John Mara is going to justify it, because we saw how fans reacted to the Eli benching, right? For me, and I stand by this to this day, I was totally fine with benching Eli if there was someone in the building that was ready to like take the lead and there was someone like worth looking at, like Kyle Lauletta this year, or fuck, even Davis Webb. Geno Smith, fuck no. And we saw exactly what happened. John Mara freaked the fuck out, fired everyone, and was basically like, no, Eli's our guy. I'm going to bring in someone who backs me up and says Eli's our guy. How the fuck is John Mara going to react to this backlash on the Odell Beckham stuff? I have no idea.
Yeah, but it really goes all the way back to that benching. That's what sparked this whole thing. It brought in the pro Eli GM.
Jesus
and then
Christ.
Once Gettleman's in, it's all fucking. But I can't believe, again, like we go back to that painful thing. And I had no problem. I was with you. Like, I didn't want the Iron Man streak to end unless to maybe the end of the season. You tell me you're going to start. Who was Davis Webb was the quarterback, yep, back then? You're telling me it's Webb. All right. No, they just went back to Eli after the reason everyone was mad is the way they handled it. It wasn't that we were moving on from Eli. And if anything, Gettleman did us all a favor by ripping that Band-Aid off, and then it's a clean break and you go on from him. Instead, we did the worst thing in the world, which is do a half measures. That's what our reason our teams are all in shit is because they are notorious for half measures instead of doing the full measure, which this trade may be, but it's not, because you still have Saquon Barkley and a bunch of guys playing for fucking guaranteed contracts that are going to try to win games. We can't just be like tank for Tua. It doesn't work like that in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
And also, are they going to take Haskins at 6? Are they going to take Jones at 17? We have no fucking clue. And also, if I'm Eli Manning, we spoke about this earlier. You go back to what Archie Manning said this past offseason about how, oh, you know, if Eli is going to keep playing, like, I don't care if Eli retires, but they can't keep playing like this. They have to put a winning team around him. Well, they just got rid of, I'll say it, the best wide receiver in the entire NFL, shipped him out. They don't have a defense. If I'm Eli, as much as it would suck to go out like this in this offseason, I'm giving two middle fingers to Dave Gettleman and John Mara, and I'm forcing them to trot out Alex fucking Tanny week one and and just making them look like the biggest jerk-offs in the world.
Maybe they see like the way the Knicks fans have gone behind the tank and been like, I guess New York can handle this. That's the only thing I could think of. Like the Costanza-ing, like when Costanza yep. just straight up tanked his life away trying to become the Astros GM. Like that's what Dave Gettleman's apparently trying to do, or they're trying to get Eli. They're doing everything in their possible to make Eli Manning retire. They're gonna like fucking kick his dog. They're gonna fucking like. I don't even know what they could do anymore. Like, give his locker away. Like, what else? You're taking Odell Beckham.
Change his keys.
Criminal to a quarterback. Yeah. Change his keys. Yeah, until his key card stop works. And exactly. Oh, and the fucking, like, everyone's like, can I start rooting for the Browns? I'm like, listen, if you leave the Giants, you're no longer a Giants fan. Yes. But, like, every Sunday, root for the Browns. I want Odell Beckham to put 2020 up every season from here on out for the rest of his career. Because you know what? Like, it's not Odell Beckham, for all the shit he got, he was never the guy people made him out. He wasn't the guy who asked the trades. That was never. Antonio Brown. Everything Odell Beckham did on the sideline, Antonio Brown did, a million other receivers did. Yeah, when Odell Beckham did, it was the biggest story in the world. Odell Beckham was partying with a girl once who might have been doing drugs. The only NFL player to ever do that, by the way. It's fucking crazy. Like the Twitter and the media have tricked people to think they know who Odell Beckham is. They have no idea. The guy likes to dance. He fought a fan once, and he a literal fan. I saw Odell Beckham fought a fan on the sideline last year. I'm like, oh my God, he actually fought a person. No, it was another like solitary fan that was blowing cold air on him. It's crazy what Twitter has like ruined people's brains.
It's nuts. And you know, you said it right. Like, whatever. I'm still going to be jiffing the Giants. I'm still going to be doing the podcast. I'm still going to be doing all this. Granted, I'm going to be miserable every time I do it. I'm going to rip the organization every time I do it until they fucking fix this mess. But Baker was my favorite college quarterback last year. He was my favorite quarterback going into the draft. And now he's paired with my favorite wide receiver. I'm going to be rooting for the fucking Browns every single game next year.
Yeah, it's the Ray Bourque thing. Like, Ray Bourque went to the fucking Avs, and the fucking Bruins fans just rooted for the Avs. Like, that's what you kind of have to do now. Like, there's no shame in the game, man. I mean, especially if the Giants are as bad as we think they're going to be. Like, at some point, you have to at least root for someone to do something outside of your fantasy team, because if your fantasy's dead in week 7, then what the fuck are you even – I'm not going to stop watching football. So, yep. Yeah, I mean, that's the one good thing I say about this, and I imagine you agree, like, Browns fans, fan of the teams I root for, I identify a lot with the Browns fans, and I'm happy that like at least he went there instead of like, I mean, I don't hate the Patriots like a lot of people do, but seeing all the Patriots fans rub it in my face would have sucked. I'm happy the Browns fans at least give me something to root for now. That's kind of nice, I guess.
Yeah, right? Well, finding a little silver lining there.
I'm trying, man.
You're trying real hard. Don't hurt yourself reaching. That's all I got for now. Clem, thank you. Unless you got any parting words, this was literally a 5-minute DM, hey, what are you doing right now? Okay, come on Skype and let's bang out this podcast. So appreciate you taking the time on such short notice.
No problem, man. Everyone keep your heads up. I'm not going to say it will get better. It may take 5 years, 15 years, 20. Your grandkids may be the ones to see it,
but I might
be
better
at some point. All right, I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
How much of this are you putting at the Mara's feet?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
it all comes back. Fish rots from the head down. Yes. They're the ones that interviewed four fucking people for the GM job, three of whom were previous or current Giants employees. It's a joke. The whole thing's a joke.
And now we're the worst organization in football. So,
by far.
Yeah, the Giants haters are going to have their day in the sun. Odell haters have their time now. All the Odell haters out there, this is your fucking time to shine. I want to see the Giants become a fucking dynasty without him now, because I've heard how he was the problem all these years, and he's only been the greatest player that we've had in forever. So
in forever.
Whatever.
All right, that's it.
Clem. See you, Ethan. I'll see you fucking at the draft.
See you at the draft, guys. Follow Clem on Twitter, at the Clem Report. Clem, thanks for hopping on. I'll talk to you soon. All right, we're back with our second and final impromptu guest. We've got the great Evan Silva. You know him because he's the fantasy guru. You can follow him on Twitter at Evan Silva. And we have squashed the beef. It is water under the bridge. We respect each other. We have a great relationship now. I feel like I know the man, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, like a brother. Evan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great to podcast with someone whose first name begins with an E. You know, a lot of greatness there. You know, Ethan, Evan, Elgin Baylor. You know, I'm fishing for people. Eric Crouch, he was great. You know, lots of greats over the years have that common link, and I'm humbled to share it with you.
There we go. Humbled. Love it. Well, let's not dilly dally too much. Want to bring you in because of the Odell Beckham news.
You know who I intentionally left out there?
Who? Eli Manning. There we go, Eli Manning. I knew it. Let's get into the Odell Beckham trade. You've been, as well as I, have been very outspoken about the direction in which the New York Giants are headed. Their owner, John Mara, their GM, Dave Gettleman. You actually have many, many opinions, many thoughts on Dave Gettleman and sort of the power that he holds in the organization. I have spent probably the last, I don't know how long the first two recordings of the show were, probably about 40, 45 minutes yelling and screaming, ripping Dave Gettleman, ripping the Giants organization, probably what will go down as one of the worst trades in modern Giants history. And the franchise is pretty directionless right now. I know you recently on your podcast did an entire episode on the Giants and Dave Gettleman, the incompetence surrounding the Giants organization. So I'll let you wrap for a little bit. Give me your thoughts on the trade, the direction of the franchise, and whether or not we are totally right to have absolutely zero hope.
Oh, boy. I mean, I don't want to say that the Giants have zero hope, but I would say that the hope should be limited.
That's fair.
And, you know, the more time that I put into researching the Giants, and I began by essentially assuming that Dave Gettleman was at the root of all problems. You know, I researched his background in Carolina, not great. You know, I researched his background with the Giants, you know, certainly had the Eli tie. But the more research that I put in, we were planning to do our Giants podcast in the middle of January, but I kept pushing it back because I wanted to continue to do more research. I didn't feel like it was all complete. And, you know, we start to research like the beginning, going into the beginning of March, and, you know, they let Landon Collins walk, and it was so reminiscent of what Gettleman did with Josh Norman. Now, he did initially place the franchise tag on Josh Norman, but then you rescinded it. But still, it was, you know, a very similar concept, and he admitted that experience with Josh Norman impacted the way that he was going to approach Landon Collins. And, you know, it kind of set off a light bulb because this Twitter account called Funhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep. Big in the New York scene. Yeah. Shout out to Funhouse.
Yeah. And they've done a great job. But they've really highlighted just all the takes that Francesa has had for the last couple of years. But I think that he thinks that the Giants are salvageable as long as they follow through with what he thinks should be done. He was very strongly against Landon Collins. Can't cover, you know, you'd be crazy to franchise tag him, you know, let him walk. Great move, Giants. You know, Olivier Vernon, what was his tweet? I'm good with them just getting anything possible for Olivier Vernon. If you watched the Giants last year, they had no pass rush.
Zero pass rush.
Season without Vernon. And then when he came back, they at least had a semblance of a pass rush. I mean, he wound up with 7 sacks in a season that was pretty much ruined by a high ankle sprain. When it comes to Eli Manning, obviously Mike Francesa has Eli Manning on his show every week. The most biased person on the planet is Mike Francesa when it comes to anything related. Everything that he says is, you know, it's the offensive line's fault. He even has blamed Odell Beckham for Eli Manning struggling at times. And that brings us to OBJ, because he was very supportive of this trade tonight, and he's always been anti-OBJ. And OBJ is one of, you know, the top 5 wide receivers in the NFL, probably a top 15 NFL player overall. And it's crazy, and, you know, squarely in his prime. And it's crazy to think that a team would trade a player of this caliber for just the 17th overall pick, you know, a mid to late third, and a safety, you know, who's kind of a downgrade from Landon Collins. I do like Jabril Peppers, but you know, you add all these things together, and then you just listen to Francesa talk, and you think about when John Mara grew up. I mean, Wellington Mara, I think, you know, is one of the great ambassadors of the NFL. He was a great owner. But, you know, now we're on to the third generation, you know, trust fund kid. And John Mara is just kind of like wisping in the wind. And, you know, he has no real backbone. You know, he has no idea what he's doing. And he grew up listening to Francesa, nicknamed the sports pope. And, you know, he thinks that Francesa really has a clue of what's going on. I think for sure they actually talk, John Mara and Mike Francesa. And I think that Mike Francesa has a strong influence on the moves that are made by the Giants, because more and more in recent years, as Chris Mara has come to become a more powerful presence within the Giants organization, John Mara has become much more hands-on of an owner. I mean, you just look at the way that they conducted their last GM search.
Oh my God, dude, it makes me sick. It makes me sick, that GM search.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy that they asked to conduct the GM search freaking drafted Eli Manning. Who did he pick? Oh, a guy who was on his staff when Eli Manning was drafted. You know, it's like it was funny. It was so ironic that Dave Gettleman was talking about how other people had created an anti-Eli Manning narrative, because that's exactly what the Giants did. They created a pro-Eli Manning narrative. And I mean, I think they've brainwashed a really big part of the fan base. I mean, just, you know, looking at my mentions on Twitter, I mean, there
dumpster
are a
fire.
Lot of people. Do you experience this?
Well, not as much, because I'm like very big proponent of shitting on John Mara and talking about how bad of a job he does. So pretty much like I would say pretty much for the most part, the older segment of the fan base, or the younger ones that were managed to be brainwashed by the Mike Franceses of the world, hate my guts, and they probably don't listen to this podcast and have probably blocked me on Twitter.
Well, as we've established, no one listens to this podcast.
Exactly. No one. Exactly. No one. Zero people. That's a callback, folks. That's a callback.
No. I know that you have a great listenership, and I'm glad that we've been able to do this. You know, let me throw some questions at you. So, I mean, do you think that this theory is crazy? I feel a little Alex Jones-ish, but there are so many parallels here, man. I mean, what's your take on it?
I mean, listen, it is a little far-fetched, but I'll give it some validity, and here's why, right? You ever see the movie? I actually came up with this when you were talking. You ever seen the movie Hot Fuzz?
No.
Okay. Well, for those who have seen the movie Hot Fuzz, it's you know, the next movie with the two Shaun of the Dead guys, and basically they're cops in a small, perfect little village in somewhere in England or whatever. And basically, what gets figured out towards the end is that the town is so perfect because the old cult of just like angry old white people have been like basically like keeping everything at bay and brainwashing people. And I feel like that's sort of similar to what we're seeing with John Mara, James Dolan, Mike Francesa, the old rich guard of people just trying to protect their assets. I mean, Dolan was on radio today basically talking about how he gets harassed at the Garden and he doesn't care what people think and this, that, and the other thing. And it's mind-boggling to me, by the way, not to go off on a totally new tangent, that, you know, being a sports owner and being this rich, granted a lot of these teams and the money was handed down to these owners, but to be so goddamn tone deaf, to have arguably the greatest city in the world and to have such a dog shit sports teams, it's wild to me. But I think it goes back to you know, the original Eli benching, and we touched on this a little bit earlier in the podcast where you know, and I was fine with them benching Eli if it was for someone who was up and coming. If they had made the argument, you know, we got to give Davis Webb a shot and see what he's got, I would have been like, you know what, fine, that makes sense, you got to see what you have in the future, it's a lost season. Instead, they played fucking Geno Smith and it made no goddamn sense. So John Mara saw that backlash, and I think that that's what sort of started that avalanche of, okay, let me issue an apology. Eli, we're sorry. Eli, you're going to start. Let me interview five people for the GM jobs, four of whom were either in the organization, previously with the organization, and one ESPN analyst, right? So we're going to do our best to
basically pretend that we're doing our due diligence, go out there, still protect Eli. And then you got the Mike Franceses of the world who are number one, okay? He's number one in the ratings. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. And, you know, he goes out there every day from 1 to 5, basically talking about how Odell Beckham's a distraction. Eli can do no wrong. And you're right. He's got Eli on the podcast. He's got Eli on the radio every week for his weekly spot. And, you know, sometimes he's been a little bit critical of him, but you have to maintain that relationship. And he maintains it with, you know, the Knicks, and he maintains it certainly with the Yankees. He tweaks the Jets, and he tweaks the Mets all the time, even though he's got relationships with, you know, the Mets owners. But, you know, what it comes down to is the narrative. And I think you're right. You know, that narrative is out there because you have people who are in sort of high power just preaching it on the regular with basically nothing to back it up, talking about how Odell Beckham's a distraction, even though the most offensive thing he did while as a player was fake pee like a dog on the sidelines after a touchdown against the Eagles. So, you know, to me, it makes no sense watching the Giants make all these moves. It's nonsense. I'm fearful for the organization. I don't think they have much of a future. You said that there's not zero hope, but a little bit of hope. I really just don't know where they go next, because Archie, and we talked about this before too, but I'd like your take on this. Archie Manning came out, you know, before this offseason started and said, if Eli retired, I'd be okay with it. But if he comes back, the Giants need to do everything in their power to surround him with a good team. And Dave Gettleman has done the exact opposite of that. So now I'm curious to see how Eli Manning handles this news. He just lost his number one receiver. He doesn't have a defense. He's got Saquon Barkley, and he's got, you know, a slightly improved offensive line. But where does he go from here? If you're Eli, what are you thinking right now?
Well, you know, Ethan, I want to throw it back. I want to spin it back to the first thing that you said there.
Okay.
Which was, you know, just understanding how momentous a moment that was when Ben McAdoo benched Eli Manning.
Yep.
And, you know, what I thought was a momentous fallout from that was that Francesa rant. Do you remember the Francesa rant, the anti-McAdoo Francesa
yes.
rant?
Uh-huh.
It's a fucking great rant.
It was viral.
Awesome. It was awesome. It was so good that I, at the time, was almost convinced that Francesa was right. But you know what? As time has gone by, Ben McAdoo was proven right. And I'm not a Ben McAdoo guy. I don't think you are either.
Nope.
Yeah. And years before this, Mark Ross and Jerry Reese wanted to start, you know, to put the wheels in motion to get rid of Eli. And my guess is that you're not a Jerry Reese or a Mark Ross guy either. And nope. I really am not either. Yeah. So, but still, like, there were people inside the organization, the freaking head coach, the GM, and the VP of player personnel who were like, we have to do this. And John Mara was like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
And if you look back over time, Ethan, the greatest organizations in the NFL made the tough decision. It was the Patriots with moving on from Drew Bledsoe to the 6th-round pick out of Michigan who split time with Drew Henson. It was, you know, the 49ers moving on from Joe Montana to, you know, Steve Young, who played in like the friggin' USFL and, you know, he ran too much. You know, it was, last year.
As long as it took for Favre to Rodgers, it happened.
Exactly. It was, you know, an easy turning of the page, which real, I mean, the Chiefs definitely drew some criticism for moving on from Alex Smith, too much of a risk,
right?
You know, but they moved on to Patrick Mahomes, and that's how they turned themselves into a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You know, it's the organizations that make the difficult decisions that are the greatest organizations in the NFL. And the Giants have been a great organization. You know, they have been, we know that, but they're not right now. And I think that it starts at the top. As for how can we fix it, you know, Eli Manning, look, the first step is cutting Eli Manning.
Yeah. Evan, do you mind let me step in here real quick? Cause I just want to, I want to reiterate what you were just saying. What it boils down to, if you're looking for like a general, you know, phrase to describe the Giants and John Mara and how it really does stem back from the Geno Smith incident, is that they're, and not only the Geno Smith incident, but Ben McAdoo as a whole, is they're very risk averse and they value familiarity to their detriment. and it was with Eli Manning. They felt like they got burned with Ben McAdoo. They wanted a coach that had experience, which is why Pat Shurmur worked. They wanted a GM that knew the inner workings of the organization, which is why Dave Gettleman worked. And it's why my biggest fear is that they either use the 6th or the 17th pick on Daniel Jones because of the David Cutcliffe relationship and the Eli Manning relationship. It's that familiarity that is going to continue to fuck over this franchise for years to come.
Interesting. I see. I haven't even considered that angle. I thought that it's kind of like, see, so before the Odell Beckham trade, they I know that everybody's, oh, they have 10 draft picks. They only have 2 draft picks in the top 107.
Yeah. Most of their draft picks are dog shit.
Right. Right. So now at least they have 3 kind of decent draft. They have 2 great draft picks, 3, you know, the third one is a decent now. So now they have 3 picks, you know, inside the top 100. And if they want to move up for, I guess, Dwayne Haskins, although indications recently, I think, are that they're not even necessarily that high on Dwayne Haskins.
And even if they were, I think there's a good amount of evidence out there. And again, you never know that they could still get him at 6 without having to move up based on how, you know, Case Keenum to the Redskins and John Elway's infatuation with big white guys goes. It's, you know, they could probably stay at 6 and still get Haskins.
Yeah, but then, you know, and at least you, and I think that I like the move for Zeitler. You gave up a good piece, but you also really solidified a position that was a huge. I love Kevin Zeitler. I mean, you know, I think he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. I think we're looking at right now, Darrell Williams, his market has not been as populated, I think, as we anticipated.
I agree there, yeah.
Yeah. So potentially they could get Darrell Williams at right tackle, right guard Kevin Zeitler, center Jalapio. If he can stay healthy, I think he can be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Left guard Will Hernandez showed promise as a rookie, and then Nate Solder. I mean, this can end up being a top 12 offensive line, you know, potentially in 2019.
If they fix right tackle, I agree.
Yeah, with Darrell Williams.
Yeah, right. They can't roll out Chad Wheeler again. Otherwise, I'm just going to be blackout drunk every game.
Right. So, I don't know, man. The defense is so, like, bereft of talent. And, I mean, look, to me, I think they're a team that should tank. Get rid of Eli. Trade down from 6 and 17. They're never going to do that. And so they're a hard team to talk about because we know that the theories that we would implement, they're not going to implement because they're going to run Eli back out there again. It's depressing to talk about, honestly.
Yep. We agree. It's mind boggling. It makes me upset as a Giants fan. And the whole we didn't sign him to trade him, it made sense to me because obviously if someone comes to you with a good enough deal, you're going to take it. But not 17, not a third, and not Jabril Peppers. That doesn't even move the needle for me.
Yeah, I mean,
it's bad. It's bad times for us.
It's sad, man. It's sad. I mean, literally the only way that I can see them start to dig themselves out of this is by cutting Eli Manning. And we know that's not going to happen. So I don't even know what to say, Ethan.
Yeah, because this goes back to the Archie quote before. If Eli Manning were to just, and I don't think he would do this because, you know, fuck it. Like, let me collect this $23 million. You know, he could retire and the Giants could literally be trotting out Alex Tanny week one. Like, how bad would that be? That's a zero win team.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Like, Teddy Bridgewater re-signed with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles is in Jacksonville. Keenum's in Washington. They can't even, like, get that, like, mediocre bridge guy. But, like, I don't know why you would anyway, because being a 5-7 win team, it just makes no sense. Just go all in on the tank.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing I want to make clear is, like, I don't, like, hate the Giants.
Okay. I think that's a very good thing for you to get out there on this podcast.
Yeah. I don't hate the Giants. What I hate is, like, idiocy.
Right.
You know, just.
And that's what the Giants are right now.
Just idiocy. And unfortunately, the Giants have fallen into that. And again, I do think that they can dig themselves out of that. I mean, is there a scenario where they can dig themselves out under John Mara? I mean, you can't fire the owner, Ethan, you know?
Yeah. And that's probably the least fortunate thing about New York sports is that you can't fire the owner, especially, right? You know, for the Islanders, it you know, the owner sold the majority stake of the team, but like, we're not talking about some sort of, you know, multi-billion-dollar organization or one that was passed down, right? There is a 0% chance. Zero is too high. There is a negative 1,000% chance that John Mara or Steve Tisch ever sells. We are stuck with them. We're stuck with their kids. We're stuck with their kids' kids. And until one of them figures it out and changes it up, we are fucked.
I will pray for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. I think that's about it. It's getting late. This podcast has gone on about 4 times longer than I expected due to the surprise guests. But Evan, thank you. We appreciate you. We'll certainly have you back on again. Follow him on Twitter at Evan Silva. Evan, go ahead and plug your podcast also.
Yeah, I mean, I do a ton of podcasts. You just check me out at Evan Silva. And I would love to do another. Let's do another one after the draft, man.
Definitely.
You know, let's just see what happens. Maybe we'll be more optimistic at that time. Maybe they'll start making some smart moves. Maybe they'll get a quarterback that we like. Hey, maybe they will cut Eli Manning.
Maybe.
In a couple of days when his roster bonus is due. I highly doubt it, but you never know, man. So yep. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll speak to you soon. At Evan Silva on Twitter. Once again, Evan, thank you.